Blue lights on.
Good morning. It is May 5th, and we had a day off, or a couple days off, and so took us a minute here to get organized this morning. This is the Education Subcommittee for Ways and Means, and we are going to do three work sessions today, and that's a hint. So if you don't talk a lot, this will be a short meeting. Okay, but we want to make sure we're all informed.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Okay. Do I need to do a work session
open
on the
federal grants?
I'm going to open a work session on the federal grants, and these are from the Oregon Department of Education. Doug.
Madam Chair, as the department comes up, and for the new members on the subcommittee or to the legislature, I think this is the first federal grant we've had. Oregon laws require if an agency is applying for a federal grant, they need to get authority or approval from the legislature. During sessions, the process is they bring it to the subcommittee after it's assigned by the full committee co-chairs and then present it here. And then it's carried as an item to the full committee, and there it stops in the sense that it doesn't need to go to the floors. It just needs the full Ways and Means Committee approval. During the interim, it's a little more the e-board or the full Ways and Means interim committee in the first half of the biennium play that role. But in this case, during session, you see it first, and then it goes to the full committee and stop. And then once they take a vote on it, it's final.
And one of the other things that always surprised me, sometimes we get the grant after they've already applied for it, and we are doing it retroactively to give them permission, which I found interesting early on. But I understand because of the timing that some of these are, there's just no way to get us together between it happens. So if you see one that says retroactively approve a grant application we've already sent in, that's where it comes from. And every once in a while, those cause angst in the full Ways and Means Committee and others, but it does happen from time to time.
Thank you, Senator.
And the good thing is both of these are, their due dates are mid-May or mid-June, so you're really lucky nice. That you don't have to deal with it. I don't think either of these are probably controversial, but who knows. Right. So I'll turn it over to Mr. Saxton for a brief presentation, probably starting off with the Professional Standards Training Grant. There's two of them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good morning, Co-Chairs Coffin Monroe, members of the committee. For the record, Rob Saxton, Deputy Superintendent of Public Instruction. And happy Cinco de Mayo to all of you.
Yes.
I'm here today requesting permission for approval to apply for two federal grants, and we'll start off with the one for $350,000, is that the one that you're suggesting, Doug?
If you want to start off with that, okay, that's fine. That's the team nutrition one.
Yes.
But it's Rob, we do need to vote on them separately.
Yes. So it is a 2015 team nutrition training grant from the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and it's to expand and enhance training in support of implementation of USDA nutrition programs offered through child nutrition programs and their child and adult care food programs. The grant is for $350,000. There are no FTE associated with the grant, and we are applying before. Let's see. We can turn it in after we apply if you approve or give us permission to apply. And I have some experts if there are any questions.
Representative Smith-Warner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to I have $150,000 in the materials, or am I looking at
Different grant.
Okay, sorry.
Yes.
I thought this was the training. Okay, sorry. I'll keep reading. I'll keep opening them.
Well, they both do have training in the title.
This is teen. Starts with teen training.
Thank you.
And they both took all about training.
As Madam Chair, members, as a side note, there's also no matching requirement on either one of these grants.
Madam Co-Chair, I would move that we accept, approve Legislative Fiscal Office's recommendation for a request to apply for the Team Nutrition Training Grant in the amount of $350,000.
Mr. Co-Chair has moved that we accept the recommendation from Legislative Fiscal Office for the team nutritional training grant. Senator Roblin.
Discussion. I appreciate seeing the kinds of things. This is the kind of the diet I'm now working on to help my blood sugars. And the fact that it doesn't list ketchup as a vegetable is a real positive thing for me. Which happened once in my career.
Yeah, I remember that.
Really? I like ketchup.
I like ketchup, too.
Ketchup is wonderful if you have a salt deficiency. Representative Smith Warner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd just like to say for the record that in reading through that, that does, those are the team training, that's great stuff to advocate. Working on behavioral cues to get the kids to make good selections. And I'd just like to say for the record something that we've had at my kid's school that has had, and that I've read a bit about, is the idea of doing recess before lunch and the impact that that has on the amount of food kids eat and also how nutritious it is, that it indeed has been found to not only help them eat more, but eat more, make more nutritious choices. And so I would just like to advocate for the record that that if there's a way that that can be studied and or involved in this grant, I would strongly advocate that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, the motion. Pardon?
You need to vote.
Get there. The motion's been made. Or any other discussion? Any objections? Motion carried. And we.
It's a good thing.
Okay, let's just check in.
Yeah, I'm awake.
Senator Monroe. Yes, would you carry that to the full?
Okay, be happy to do that.
And now, Mr. Saxton, professional standards training grant for school meals.
Yes, co-chairs Conflin and Monroe, members of the committee. The second grant we're seeking permission to apply for is a 2015 professional standards training grant. There have been lots of changes in the requirements. I think it's been fairly well publicized to the school nutrition programs, both breakfast and lunch. And it's important for the administrators of those programs to receive the kind of training that it takes to be able to do that well. And this would provide $150,000. There are no FTE and no matching requirements for this federal grant.
Madam Co-Chair.
Yes, Mr. Co-Chair.
I move that we accept the LFO recommendation to approve the request to apply for the professional standards and training grant in the amount of $150,000.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair.
Up to $150,000.
Up to, okay. The motion is to approve the recommendation from LFO to apply for the professional standards training grant in the amount of up to $150,000. Discussion. Any objections? So moved. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you,
Saxton.
Jay.
And do you want to carry
them? Yeah, I might as well. Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I'm going to close the work session on the federal grants and open a work session on House Bill 5007, Board of Chiropractic Examiners.
Okay.
And I need to get to my...
Co-chairs, members of the committee, House Bill 5007 is the budget bill for the Board of Chiropractic Examiners. The total budget is $1,915,058, six positions, 5.1 full-time equivalent FTE position, and it's a 19.6% increase from the 2013-2015 legislatively approved budget. The first package in the budget, package 100, is for the healthcare investigator position. The package originally requested $159,286 for this position and increased it to a 0.6 full-time equivalent FTE. This will make the position a permanent position at a 0.6 FTE within the agency. The LFO recommendation is to reduce $12,000 in services and supplies in order to reflect the reduced need that the agency will have for consultants of chiropractors, because now they'll have someone in-house to do that. So the total recommendation is $147,286 on that package. And stop me if there's any questions on these as I go through. Next package, 101, is for the Attorney General Legal Services. This is to address some of the growing legal concerns that the agency is having to address. It'll help cover legal counsel in the business trial, civil enforcement, and appellate sections for the Department of Justice. And the total dollar amount on this package is $140,000, other funds. And the LFO recommendation is to approve that without modification. Package 102 is for professional services, administrative hearings. It's for $40,219. This is for administrative law judges. It includes pre-hearing conferences, review of pre-hearing motions, considering and ruling on the motions, and the actual hearings themselves. And the LFO recommendation on that package is to approve. Package 103, merchant fees for online license renewal. This is for a $2 transaction fee that's charged by NIC USA for their online license renewal system to cover development and maintenance costs. And also included in there are merchant fees, the transaction charges from credit card companies when people pay the license fee online. The dollar amount for this package is $26,360, and the LFO recommendation is to approve. Almost there. Package 105 is the new executive director differential, FTE. Package adds $16,509 in salaries and wages for the director's differential, and then $3,969 in other payroll expenses. So for a total of $20,478, and the LFO recommendation is to approve the package. Package 106 is the fee increase. This increases revenues by $323,164. With this fee increase, the ending balance for the agency is projected at $352,552, which is approximately 4.4 months of operating expenses for the ending balance on that. And this agency, as the committee will remember, we originally heard a fee bill as well. This agency no longer needs to have the fee bill. Once 5007 is approved, then the agency can go back and administratively set in rules the fee dollar amounts, and the approval of the budget is the legislature approving the fee increase. And the LFO recommendation on this package is to approve. Any questions on that?
Representative Smith Warner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I hesitate to open a hive about this, but I just wanted, I know that the whole, with our ongoing transition to online applications and payments, have we or have we discussed establishing a baseline on when there's a policy to cover that, whatever the fee is, and when we ask the agencies to take it out of their budgets?
Madam Chair and Representative Smith Warner, so when this budget comes to you in the next biennium, these fees will be included in the current service level. This agency doesn't have any sort of statute or direction, unless you would like one, in order to, you know, include a fee package for it. So next year, unless there is some, you know, credit card fees, transactions go up, or NIC USA wants to charge more than $2, you probably won't see a package in the budget for this next year. It'll just be included in the current service level.
Okay. May I have a brief follow-up? So in your position as an LFO staff, would you say, I mean, are we doing this consistently across the agencies that are doing this? Or that's what I'm trying to get a sense of, have we established a baseline for how we're dealing with this in all of the agencies that are doing this kind of online application and renewal, or are we doing it case by case?
Madam Chair and Representative Smith Warner, I only have four small agencies in my experience, so I can look into that and see, you know, if it is a case by case basis or what the history is behind those agencies that do have a specific policy option package every year. And I can find out.
I just think it would be helpful for us to, either, you know, to decide, I mean, because this is only going to become more prevalent over time. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, thanks.
I'll look into that.
Thank you. Co-Chair Monroe?
Yes, since it's been, a couple of months or so since we heard this, my memory is that this board is kind of behind in terms of investigations, that there's a backlog, and that there's been significant increases in costs for Department of Justice to help them out. And that's the reasons for the rather substantial increase, including an increase in the FTE. But maybe you could just review briefly what the situation is with the board right now and why these add-ons are needed.
Sure. Co-Chair Monroe, Co-Chair Comp, good morning. My name is Cassandra Skinner. I'm the Executive Director for the OBCE. In answer to your question, Co-Chair Monroe, and I have a feeling with all the budget hearings that you've been hearing, there's maybe some confusion with the different agencies. We are actually not backlogged in our investigation. Right now, we currently have 49 open cases, and we're looking at settlement of 9 of those within the next couple days. So we have no backlog. The investigation costs, we actually have a temporary employee filling our investigator position. Mm-hmm. We have a healthcare investigator that's in part of our package right now. And also, really, the increased costs are legal expenses in DOJ with regard to the number of contested cases that are being heard and filed and appealed at the appellate level. And so that's where we're seeing a growing number of licensees who are filing contested cases in the administrative side, but also going to the circuit court and filing consecutive cases there. So that's the interesting byplay.
Okay. Our whole society is becoming more litigious.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you.
Representative Smith-Warner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a lot of questions today. I was just looking through the KPMs in the materials as well. And I would just express a concern that in a number of them, the targets for 2016 and 2017 are significantly lower than what you are currently achieving. And that just seems
strange.
Yes. Thank you.
Could you talk a little bit about your KPMs?
Sure. Specifically, actually, the one that I am most concerned, for KPM number one, the average number of days to resolve a complaint.
Right.
That had quite a bit to do with that investigator position not being filled. And so that's where some of that backlog that you were talking about.
And that's not even what I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but that's not even what I'm talking about. I get clearly that's something that needs to be worked on. That's the investigator stuff. I really was more the customer service stuff, which it's great you're in the 90s now, but then your targets for 2016 and 2017 are only 75%.
Yes.
Oh, we're doing a little too good of a job. Perhaps we should slow down.
Actually, I appreciate that. And when I'm thinking of the targets, I'm looking at 100% for the customer service. And those targets were addressed prior to my tenure. So in future biennia, we'll be addressing modifying those. But yes, we're doing much better than those targets, and I'm grateful for it. And that's pretty much true across the board, except for our board best practices, which we had 5 of our members reporting in rather than this full 7. And so that's where we get the numbers there. Okay. But we'll be addressing that.
Thank you.
Yep, thank you. Senator Monroe.
Ready for a motion?
No. Senator Roebling has questions. Senator
thank
Monroe.
Thank you. Going back to appeals and cases of that kind, is there a I guess what I would want to know, is there – are we appealing an earlier decision in the circuit court, or are they appealing a decision? Because if we're appealing a lot, I would think we want to look at ourselves about what our standard is. If they're appealing a lot, I understand that, because that's their only recourse. So
right.
Which is happening, I guess?
I wouldn't say majority, but actually most, if not all, are the licensees appealing the decisions.
Okay.
Yes.
That makes
sense. Yeah.
Thank you. And Senator Monroe, I have to get to my page where all the motions are. Oh, they're there. Okay.
You ready for a motion?
Yes, sir.
I would move that we accept the LFO recommendation with respect to House Bill 5007.
The motion is to accept the LFO recommendation to House Bill 5007. Any discussion? Any objections? Senator Monroe.
I would move that we accept the LFO recommendation with modifications.
On the key performance measures.
Oh, that's where we are. Okay.
Where are we? Oh, down
here. I would
here.
Move that we accept the LFO recommendation on the key performance measures to House Bill 5007.
The motion is to move that the LFO recommendations are accepted for the key performance measures for House Bill 5007. Senator Roblin, first I call you Monroe, now I want to call you Representative
No
Roblin.
Problem. I guess I agree with Representative Smith-Warner that the key performance standards and the level at which they're set needs to be reviewed over time. I'm okay with it right now, but I would expect that in the future that they would be raised to match more closely what is actually happening, and also to set a standard that says that we really do care about that. I appreciate the comment that you're looking at 100%. Mm-hmm. I don't know that that's the standard you want, because it's hard to meet that one all the time, but looking at number of those, they should be at the 90 to 95% as opposed to the 75%. But I'm okay with it as it is. New people trying to get it worked out, I'll give them a year to do that. So thank you.
And Madam Co-Chair, I understand you're mixing up, good Senator, and I just remember I'm the older one and I have more hair.
That's right, exactly.
Ready for another motion?
I think we're on the same motion about the key performance measures. Any other discussion about the key performance measures? Any objections? Motion carries.
Okay, Madam Co-Chair, I move the Dash 1 amendment to 5007.
Senator Roblin, Co-Chair Monroe, now you guys got me really going. Co-Chair Monroe moves the Dash 1 amendment to House Bill 5007. Any discussion? Any objections? Senator Thompson, I know who he is, is objecting, and everybody else, the motion's carried. And final motion, Senator.
Madam Co-Chair, I would move House Bill 5007 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Monroe moves the House Bill 5007 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Objections? Discussion.
Just my standard statement. This budget's double what we gave K through 12, which was 9%, so I'll be a no.
Okay. Any other discussion? Any objections? Senator Thompson, motion carries.
And Madam Co-Chair, we need a carrier to the full and to the Senate and to the House.
Yes, and Senator Roblin, would you want to take that to the full?
That'd be fine.
And to the Senate?
Yes, he can do that as well.
And Representative Smith-Warner, do you want to take this to the floor? Thank you. And with that, I will close the work session on House Bill 5007, and we switch places.
Thank you
so much. Oh, we're doing great. If I get my members' names right, we will be very successful here.
No, it's only been 3 or 4 months. Down by now.
It's true oftentimes, though, that people have been in education had to get names real fast.
Well, she should have
we
a
resist
list right
that. We resist that when we get out of the education business.
I am a great grandmother. And we are going to open for a hearing House Bill 5009. And Tim?
Co-chairs, members of the committee, we've got the House Bill 5009, the Board of Licensed Social Workers. We originally had a public hearing on February 10th, so I'm sure it's fresh in your mind at this point. This will be fairly straightforward. The budget has no policy option packages. My LFO is recommending a other funds budget of $1,484,362. I would like to note, however, that the board will be increasing their licensing fees by 10% under their rulemaking authority starting July 1st, 2015. I believe they'll be effective in September. And the increased fees will be used to augment the ending fund balance. The 2013-15 ending fund balance is projected to be $176,136, or about 2.9 months. Mm-hmm. At the end of this biennium, of the 15-17, it would, without the fee increase, I believe it would be around $65,000, or just about a month worth. So the increased revenue will go to the ending fund balance to finance operations. There are no adjustments to the current service level. And that is their budget at the six positions and six FTE. I noticed that there were some questions earlier about the fee setting. Some agencies have the ability or have fees set in statute, and some have rulemaking authority to set the fees. But they still need to get the okay of the legislature at that point, either at this point or they would have to come back in the next biennium through the Senate Bill 333 process.
Okay. Questions? Representative Smith Warner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm just in looking at the LFO materials. In the box on the front page, it says six positions all the way across, but then it says 16 further down.
Yes, that is a mistake on my part. The recommended change is the House Bill 5009. It's six positions and six FTE.
Okay.
Good job.
Madam Co-Chair.
Yes. Mr. Co-Chair.
Is the Senator Thompson wants to know what the percentage of
I know
increase
what the percentage is.
10%.
Oh, no.
6.4%.
Oh, that's true.
Way under my mark.
Oh, well, for heaven's right. sakes.
I don't vote no on everything.
We might have to have you carry this one.
Mr. Co-Chair.
Madam Co-Chair, I move the LFO recommendation on House Bill 5009.
The recommendation, the motion is to move the recommendation from LFO for House Bill 5009. Any discussion? Any objections? Motion carries.
Madam Co-Chair, I move the LFO recommendation on key performance measures for Senate Bill 5009 or House Bill 5009.
The motion is that we accept the key performance measures as presented for House Bill 5009. Any discussions? Representative Smith Warner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd just like to say that in general, all of their KPMs are indeed, they have some aspirational targets. But another thing is I adjust to this committee, maybe some future kind of working a little more closely. So if you look at their KPMs, they're all aspirational, but in some places they're more aspirational than others.
Okay.
So perhaps we could have some future discussion about kind of the level of how realistic the aspirations are versus, you know, both not being lower than they are and not being overly aspirationally higher.
Okay. Our staff is making note of that.
Sure.
Any objections to the motion? Motion carries.
Madam Co-Chair, I would move LFO recommendation to adopt the -1 amendment to House Bill 5009.
Motion is to adopt the -1 amendments to House Bill 5009. Any discussion? Objections? Motion carries.
Madam Co-Chair, I would move House Bill 5009 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Monroe moves House Bill 5509 as amended to the full committee with a do pass recommendation.
Yep, 5009.
5009. Thank you if I said that wrong.
55.
Okay. Okay. Yes. And discussion on that motion? Objections? Good. Senator, you haven't noted Senator Thompson says this is a good one, so we have a full.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm there.
Okay. Motion carries.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
This might be the only budget I get to vote yes on. Could I carry it somewhere?
Absolutely. Senator Thompson will carry it to the full and to the Senate.
I'll do it for the House.
Thanks.
Wonderful, Tim, that we have this great committee that's raring to go.
Very cooperative.
Very cooperative. And Senator Thompson, don't leave yet. I think Doug has some information for the good of the order. Okay. Please.
I was just coming in to make sure folks know tomorrow we'll...
Just a minute. I should... Julia, I want to put on the record that Representative Huffman is excused and so is Representative Springer.
Okay.
From the
vote. Doug a question.
Yes, sir.
I'm seeing ending balances anywhere from 12 months to two months. What is the reason for the large discrepancies in those, and why are some longer than others?
There are a number of factors, one of which is the licensing. Some boards have licensing ongoing during the year. Others may only do it once a year, so they need the cash flow. That may be one explanation. Sometimes there'll be a fee increase, and if you don't increase it then for another X number of years, which is often the case, they tend to build up and then start back down again when the cost increase.
Well, just like the last budget we passed, it was a 10% fee increase, but they only, and yet at the end they only had a 2.2
months.
So that, you know, that I look at, if they have a large ending balance, they're probably not going to raise fees for a couple of years, but then you had that one, and that doesn't really play into that one.
Some have more success at getting fee increases than others, so and so they do it in smaller increments.
And I actually like that better.
Yeah, Senator Roblin.
I thought I'd actually try to directly answer the question that was asked, and just tell him some of them have more money than the other.
Okay,
that's why they have a bigger.
Well, that would make sense.
Okay.
Okay,
I can
Doug.
Understand that.
Okay. Doug.
So tomorrow there is, the day will be on Oregon Department of Education, the assessments, Smarter Balanced and other assessments, as well as the staffing and cost for those. And then Thursday will be sort of a discussion of a number of individual policy packages, and that will hopefully, ODE will be done for a while at least. I think they'll come back with strategic investments and the network for quality teaching in a little after the May forecast.
And Doug, are they going to bring the comparisons of the cost now, the anticipated cost for smarter balance as compared to the Oaks, which is what the state had used in previous bienniums?
I am assuming they are, because I asked them for that, but I'll make sure they do that.
Because when they share this information, folks, you might fall off your chairs. So. Okay. I want to thank the members that are here, because literally we can't do our job without a quorum, and it's appreciated, and we are adjourned.
Thanks. Okay. What? Okay. What?